We're CJMQ, and today we're talking with Anime Kinney once again. Anime is going to talk about becoming an unsung hero. So welcome, Anime.
Good morning, Maureen.
Unsung heroes, tell us about that, Anime.
First, I want to talk about what we've been doing the last few months, I think.
Good.
And with the Olympics going on and all our athletes doing so great and bringing home gold, many people just could not leave their television screens for months at a time, for weeks at a time or whatever it was. I think it was a two-week period, and now they're started with the other Olympics for the handicapped.
Right.
So it goes from one to the other and from one sporting event to the other, the Super Bowl and the Canadian Grey Cup. And whenever you turn the TV on, there's something big going on with the sports world, whether it's golf or race cars on Sunday afternoon on Channel ABC Network or something like that. And, you know, it really got me thinking. You know, these are the heroes that are, I say that with a very little H, that the next generation is looking up to. They follow them in the media. They follow their achievements, which is great. It's great that a kid can run faster or achieve something that somebody else can't. I'm not putting that down. Because it's wonderful that people keep on getting stronger and better and so on. But, you know, when you really stop to think what a hero means, just because they do one thing good in your life does not make a person a hero. Now, when I grew up, which was a long time ago, It was the same type of thing, but not as bad as it is now. When the Beatles came to New York City, like I wrote about, there were girls fainting over these four or five boys.
Right, right.
And I just couldn't understand it. I was 16 years old, and I thought, what's going on here? I mean, why are these girls crazy and screaming and going nuts over boys? There's plenty of boys walking up and down the street. I didn't catch it at all. I don't know where I was, but I certainly wasn't in that frame of mind. From about 15, I guess I started about 14, I was studying law, and I was into biographies, autobiographies, and the type of people I read about were real heroes, people who impacted the world in some way. It didn't have to be a great way, but in some way they changed it, like Thomas Edison. I mean, I remember reading about Thomas Edison in my Encyclopedia Britannica when I was 9 years old. And I sat on that floor in my room, cross-legged, with all these books on the floor with me, reading from one of his discoveries to the other. And at the time, I don't know if the Encyclopedia Britannica still does this, but it showed you in simple ways how he did everything. There was pictures and diagrams and so on, and the explanations were great. And this man took his idea, and he revolutionized the world. Because, I mean, just think, have you ever sat by candlelight except in a power failure?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, who has gas lights anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there used to be gas street lights on the corners of the major cities of the world. And just by his own imagination and inspiration, he did one thing, and he did it good. And he invented other things along the way, too, but he was an inventor. And he changed the world. And in a small way, I guess you could say that he gave me initiative to learn more.
That's good.
But where are these people today for the children of today? I mean, if you make a hero, some guy who does a great touchdown during the Super Bowl, is that the limitations you have for your children, that they have to be sports heroes, and they don't get into, I mean, there's got to be heroes in every field. heroes in science, heroes in medicine and theology and different types of fields. We need different heroes that really impact. Now, it doesn't have to be that they did something either. People that left a record of a period of time, like you take the survivors of Poland, of Eastern Germany during the 1930s. A lot of these older people are still alive and living in the United States and other countries. And when you hear them talk, a man just wrote a book just now, and he was on, he's like 85 years old, and in the Holocaust, he was 7 years old.
Amazing.
When it started.
Mm-hmm.
When it started.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in his teens when it ended. So this was a German boy.
Okay.
He was not Jewish.
Okay.
He was German.
Mm-hmm.
He became one of Hitler's youth. And his wisdom is something that needs to be passed on to us. Like, I mean, he got on the radio and he talked for 45 minutes and said, "Wake up, America, wake up. Hitler wasn't our chancellor when he started the Hitler Youth. He started the Hitler Youth 3 years before he ran for chancellor."
Okay.
So these people who have recorded this, bits of knowledge that can show us that history can and does repeat itself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These people like Anne Frank, who wrote her journal and showed us what it was like to be a Jew hiding out during that time, they are unsung heroes. Just like this man right now, he's screaming, "Wake up, wake up, wake up," before it happens to you. He gave a great example how Barack Obama started the youth movement 3 years before he ran for president.
Mm-hmm. That is a good example.
And he also followed it step by step to show what was going on. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I think his book is it's available on all those on the line, Amazon.com and mm-hmm. so on and so forth, booksellers. I'm not sure if it's called Hitler's Youth or what, but you could find it if you do a search. I should have got the name of the book, but it was amazing. But these are the unsung heroes, people who step up to the plate, and they're not afraid to speak out. And they don't let injustice go past, because when you say, "Well, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm not gonna fight this. I haven't got the energy to fight this," what you're saying is, "I'm shrugging my shoulders. I'm leaving it for my kids. I'm leaving it for my grandkids. I'm not gonna come up to the bat, and I'm letting it go." And all I see is this complacency in our society that is driving me nuts. It's got to do, I mean, we talked about the water. We talked about the pollution in the water, the fluoride in the water. And like I said, if you don't find it a problem, enjoy drinking it. But if you do find it a problem, step up to the plate. Do something. Become an unsung hero. Become the hero in your child's eyes. Show that young person that they can read literature. They could read about real heroes that invented things, that changed society. They can read about real politicians that brought in constitutional law. Like, the Constitution of the United States, the original Constitution with the amendments and all,
mm-hmm.
is one of the greatest works in history. And do you know that most people do not even know it came from the Native American heritage?
Interesting.
That it was a constitution by, I'm not sure now, so don't quote me, but I'm not sure if it was the Iroquois Nation or the Chippewa Nation. But
okay.
One of the nations had almost the identical constitutional format that they embraced, and they took it upon themselves to bring into the Constitution of the United States.
Hmm, fascinating.
And the Constitution is good. I wanted to become a constitutional lawyer. But like I said before, I saw it falling apart in the 1970s,
sixties,
mm-hmm. when I came to Canada. But we have a constitutional here. It's late in the coming, but we have a constitution and we have rights and freedoms, which we have to learn that need to be defended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to be aggressive, and you don't have to pick up arms to defend yourself. The words, the pen is mightier than the sword, are true. And look at Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, this man was passive. There are books right now in all the libraries about this man's life. If you want to help someone you have in your family, a grandchild, a child, pick up some of these books, buy some of these books on these heroes, or borrow some of these books, and have these children read about what Mahatma Gandhi did, and how being passive, he changed India.
That's great advice.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's still activism. You still have to be active. I mean, you can be non-violent, but you have to be active. So, I mean, he didn't just stand by and do nothing, in other words. He did do stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And right now, my biggest hero on GMO foods is a woman in India that I have followed now for, I guess maybe 8-10 years. And she is amazing. I have a hard time saying her name because I have a hard time with words. And her name is Vandana Shiva.
Okay.
And she had got her PhD right here in Canada, in the University of Western Ontario.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Dr. Vandana Shiva. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about because you've read my article on
That's
her.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And she planned on making physics her whole life. I think it was Albert Einstein that was her mentor, if you want to say it, or her role model. And she wanted to be like him, a physicist.
Right.
Yeah, it was Albert Einstein. And she was really interested in just making this her career until she went back to her native land and found out the problems that they were facing there. Now, her father had been into forestry, into conserving it, and her mother had been a farmer. So she had a background with nature there, too, that
mm-hmm.
helped a lot.
Right.
Hey?
Mm-hmm.
When she went back to India, she started doing work in society and found out that it was a quote here. She says, "We, India, have the third biggest scientific community in the world. We are among the poorest of countries. Science and technology is supposed to create growth and remove poverty. Where is the gap?" That was the one thing that she was pushed into that opened her eyes and made her realize that she had to do something to change all of this, something to bring the change that the science and technology should have brought to India, and find out what was the culprit that was stopping this.
Okay.
So then she took time off the physics, and she spent 3 years looking into science policies. And it was at this point that she went to the Indian Institute of Science and the Indian Institute of Management and in Bangalore.
Okay.
So she got educated in management, in science, besides being into a physicist.
Okay.
So, I mean, she really broadened her horizons. And she also started to understand that the problem was the World Trade Organization. With the World Trade Organization?
Okay, World Trade Organization, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their policy and what they were trying to bring in. Now, at the same time, I mean, our lives were going parallel. I was over here getting on the computer in the early 90s and discovering all these things that she's writing about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally freaking because I said, what are they trying to do? I mean, when in 87, at one of the seminars that she attended there, they laid out the groundwork, you know, for a dream that they had, biotechnology had,
yes,
for controlling the entire world.
Okay.
They needed to make genetically engineered seeds, and they had the technology, and this would enable them to control the peasants. They would have a monopoly over the technology because they would patent the seeds.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know that people who are not farmers do not really understand that, oh, probably 70% of the world, we go to our seed catalog in the spring, and we pick up our seed catalog, and we sit down with our paper and pen and order what seeds we want that year. We make out a little check, and we mail it.
Right.
Well, most of the farmers don't do this because they're growing one or two crops. They're just barely making a profit enough to feed their families. And what they do is they save what they grew the year before, a percentage of it, to replant.
Exactly. That makes sense.
And by technology stepping in and saying, we have a better seed for you. Use our seed. It's going to give you a better crop. Well, first of all, these people were not well educated. They're rural farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And the high pressure tactics that are put on the farmers when they come over to sell them the seed is enormous. We'll give you so much seed the first year. Okay.
Okay.
We'll help you out this way, or we'll do this or that, and you're going to have a better crop, and you're going to need less fertilizer. But it's not less fertilizer they wind up needing. It's more fertilizer, because the seeds only work with the type of fertilizer produced by the seed company.
Okay.
So, like, say you mm-hmm. buy seed from company X.
Right.
And you decide to use a chemical insecticide from company A.
Okay.
It won't work with X's seeds because X's seeds are genetically altered to work with a certain type of insecticide only.
Okay, that's very interesting. That's a big eye-opener for people.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't get people to open their eyes to this who are not into farming. Some farmers do, yes, but even those that do don't get the picture. Because once you buy their seed, and once you use their seed, and the farmer has no right to any of that seed, even though he grew that seed on his own land, he hasn't got a right to save or reuse one seed that he grew.
Okay.
They have total control because it's patented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you a really hypothetical here. Okay, so you harvest all your seed. You're a poor peasant farmer, so you have oxen. They go out there in the field, and they harvest the seed. They
mm-hmm.
cut it.
Right.
A percentage of that seed is going to fall to the ground.
That's right.
A percentage of that seed is going to naturally come back the following year.
Right.
What happens if you decide not to grow the company's seed again, and you say, well, I'm not buying it next year.
Right.
I'm going to go buy my seat from the regular place.
Okay.
So you go buy your seat from the regular place, and you put it in,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of these seeds are in there.
Right.
They grow with your crop.
Right.
And they mm-hmm. pollinate your crop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the seed company comes back the next year, tests your crop, finds a little bit of their gene mixed in with it, and sues these poor peasant farmers for everything they own.
Okay. Okay.
There's a story about a guy out west, a very famous story. Percy, oh, I can't think of his last name now, just went blank. But anyway, everybody should know him. He sued Monsanto. Monsanto turned around and sued him because the seed across the street polluted his canola and got the genes.
Well, that's really interesting.
And he lost.
Yeah.
And he lost. And this is happening. These seed companies have mighty power, mighty dollars, and they will take you to court. They don't care what they spend, because once they sue one person, the next person isn't going to want to complain.
Mm-hmm.
And many organic farmers are being put out of business daily because of cross-pollination.
Well, that's something that people should definitely be aware of.
Yeah, well, it's more scary than that. Mm-hmm. We'll have to get into that another day, because there's other things that are growing out in the open that really should not be grown out in the open, like pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to get into that another day. But anyway, she came to the conclusion that this technology was bad, of course, and that she had to do something about it. So she wrote the book called Stolen Harvest.
Okay, that's Dr. Vandana
yep.
Shiva. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote that book that and that shows how everything I've talked to you about just now in that book, you know, how these multinational corporations are ripping the country blind. And these farmers in India, there was a time that thousands of farmers a year were committing suicide.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Now, I wrote two articles about it mm-hmm. over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, you know, I mean, you see letters to the editor, but nobody ever wrote anything, nobody ever commented anything, nobody ever said anything. And to me, this was a big, big, big issue, because when you got thousands of farmers committing suicide, you want to know why. What's going on? Who is driving people that far? Well, it wasn't just that they invested in cotton seed that they were told was going to be a better producer than their old cotton seed. This cotton seed bummed out. I mean, it was a failure in India. It just crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
So they didn't make the money they needed to make. That wasn't the only thing. There was the restrictions on the seed that I told you about. There was the fact that they borrowed money to get the seed, putting the family in debt.
Exactly.
When they were promised
yeah.
a high return.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another thing that's seldom ever discussed. That animals that grazed on the fields after the seed was harvested and cleaned up the stalks and so from the plants died from eating the seeds.
That's really interesting.
There were a lot of records of animals dying. And these farmers were penniless, and the only way out was suicide. And, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's your country or another country, your town of Lennoxville or the next town of Sherbrooke, our town of Bury, or the next town of Cookshire. When you see an injustice going on, you've got to stand up and do something and stop it before it gets worse.
Right. We have to protect each other.
And it's not going on.
No.
It's just not going on, which I'll go into after. Well, Dr. Shiva went on.
I just want to remark on her book. I think it's titled Biopiracy, The Plunder of Nature and Knowledge, and Stolen Harvest, The Hijacking of the Global Food Supply.
Yeah, but I think on the front cover it says Stolen Harvest in big letters.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but that's what I had read.
Okay,
that that's like the subtitle, which you just read, you know, like the whole title complete, like they put that in small letters.
Okay.
But I think in the big letters it says Stolen Harvest.
Stolen Harvest, yeah.
But I'm not sure which way you have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who's on a computer, if not, go to your library and get on a computer. Check out this woman. Check out her books. And if you don't want to read them yourself, get a hold of them for young people in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you have birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, whatever type of present, this is inspirational reading. Get the kids away from that TV, get them away from the iPods, and get them away from the music channels and the sports and everything for a couple hours a day, and do some old-fashioned reading.
Good advice. Excellent.
And parents, it doesn't hurt you either.
No.
And grandparents, there's magnifying glasses out there that can increase the whole page of a book.
Mm-hmm.
And this technology now, I just found out from a friend of mine who's 93 that you can take a book, and it's a little machine, and you can hook it up to your television, and you can read your book, paperback book or anything that you can't read, on your TV screen.
Good.
I know you can do that with the computer, too.
Okay, right.
You can use a scanner, too, and other things and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mentioning this because I have vision problems at times and because of neurological problems. And I have vision problems at times, and I find it very hard to read. And I have to blow everything up. So anybody out there, don't give up. Keep reading.
We're talking with Anna Mae Kinney today. Welcome back. And today we're talking about becoming an unsung hero.
It was in 1987 that Dr. Shiva found out about the plans to genetically alter seeds, patent them, and to get control over everything grown in the world. And they've done pretty dang good, if you ask me, in such a short time, because they really have this control. It was in 1991 that she founded Navdanya. I'll spell it Navdanya. It's a national movement to protect the diversity and integrity of living resources, especially people's native seeds. This is vital. I mean, this is so vital to us, it's unreal. And we need that here in Quebec, we need it every part of Canada, and we need it every part of the world.
Definitely.
And she's focusing her attention on preventing imperialism to rule over them.
Mm-hmm.
She says, quote, "I don't want to live in a world where five giant companies control our health and our food." And that is exactly what's happening now. And it's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening here. With what this bill, C6, that I've talked about with you, is doing, is going to give the multinationals control over every vitamin, every supplement, and everything we take. And it's not to protect us. Okay, it sounds like it is because they're using the excuse of what's coming in from other countries or maybe this herb or that herb that wasn't approved. They don't need this law to protect us. There are other laws on the book that they can enforce and have inspections of things that are coming into the country and making sure that they're good drugs. They don't need this law.
Okay.
But this law is going to open the way for multinationals and drug companies to rule us, because you'll need a prescription to get a vitamin C, you'll need a prescription to get vitamin D, and so on and so forth. That's crazy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm linking this with that. I told you it was going to be a little scattered, people, because this is the same thing as what's going on with what Dr. Shiva sees with them taking over the seeds. These same companies are the ones who are manufacturing the drugs that are turning out to be dangerous to our health. I mean, if you've been following CBC television this week, they had another drug come to the attention, something that's supposed to strengthen your bones called Fosamax, I believe.
Okay.
And just look it up in the news, and you're going to find that it's causing more trouble than it's worth. But it's another approved drug that people go and spend a lot of money taking. For what reason? Because they're going away from the natural stuff that's going to strengthen your bones. Okay, natural's not always good. Natural can be bad, too. But you got to have a happy medium there, hey?
Exactly, and it's important to research what we're taking, what we're putting in our bodies.
Yes, I mean, I remember talking about Fosamax 5 years ago at least, and I had women tell me, well, my doctor would never subscribe anything that wasn't good for me. I mean, I have to trust my doctor. Who else can I trust? I said, your own eyes and ears. Go read and learn.
Exactly.
Because right on the paper that comes with the drug, right on the insert with the paper in very, very small print, it says it can cause bone damage.
Mm-hmm. Important to read the small print and important to read about medications that
well,
we take.
Well, see, this is the thing again. Most people are seniors that take drugs or over 50 that take more drugs.
That's right.
And your eyes do go when you get older. I mean, you can't read what the 20-year-olds can read.
No.
And they put it smaller on these inserts so you don't read it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important before you take it home, read the insert, take it back to your pharmacy if you don't want to take it, and say, take it, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame in returning something and saying, listen, doctor, you don't... I had a doctor tell me, I was in the doctor's office, and I said to him, can I eat everything with this, or do I have to watch what I eat when I take it? He says, how would I know? I says, well, you're the doctor. He says, I don't study nutrition. And I said, you don't study nutrition at all. Well, I decided to find out about that, why this doctor didn't know. They get 1 day of nutrition if they want to take it. They don't have to. It's not compulsory. And if you want to know if a drug can't be taken with milk, or some drugs you can't have grapefruit juice with, and or grapefruits.
That's right.
So, I mean, if you want to know this information, the most qualified person to ask is actually the pharmacist.
That's right.
Not a worker in there, mm-hmm. the real pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to him, listen, I want to know what this interacts with, what I can't take it with, what times of the day to take it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid on antibiotics, you took your antibiotic every 4 hours. You set the alarm clock, you got up in the middle of the night, and you took it every 4 or 8 hours or whatever it was on the prescription. Now, when you get a prescription, it says take every 8 hours, but you don't take it. You don't get up in the middle of the night.
No.
But that is insanity. There's a reason to take it continuously,
mm-hmm.
and at periods of intervals. And people should just really start reading more.
Yeah, they need to read and find out everything they can, especially of what they're taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The WTO, the World Trade Organization, that was the thing we fought. I mean, if Canadians remember right, they didn't want free trade. Remember the big uproar in Canada about free trade and how so many went and voted Liberal for the Liberal leader at the time. And when he came in, he says he was going to stop the free trade. He was going to stop the free trade. But when he came in, he didn't stop the free trade because he couldn't stop the free trade,
mm-hmm.
because it was something bigger and more powerful than him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have any say over the free trade. Because this has been planned for a long time. And Dr. Shiva wrote in here, it's in my view, the worst of the World Trade Organization agreements. It has only a negative function to prevent others from doing their own thing, to prevent people from having food, to prevent from having medicine, to prevent countries from having technology, technological capability, capacity. I said capability, sorry. It's a negative tool for creating underdevelopment. And this is 100% true, no more truer word I've ever heard, because it's happened in India and since the World Trade Organization started, and the patent law. She's talking about patent law right now. It's happening in Africa. Do you know that those starving people of Africa that we heard about all those years, and we've always heard about the starving people in Africa, when the U.S. shipped GMO corn to them and other and rice and so on that had GMOs in it, they refused it. They were starving, and they refused it because they know it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good. So this woman here, she's written over 300 papers, published papers, and many books. So, I mean, I'm just encouraging everybody to find her books and to read them and do research on her, because it's just wonderful.
It is. It's very important and excellent reading.
Yeah, it's excellent. Now, the other person that I'm really admire is Dr. Arpad Pusztai. He's a Hungarian-born protein scientist.
Okay.
And, well, I guess you could say most of his life, a good 30 years, 32 years, he worked in Aberdeen, Scotland for the Rowett Research Institute. And in the early days, he was an avid GMO researcher.
Okay.
And he was pro-genetically modified fruits. He thought that they were great, that they were going to maybe even save humanity, that good things could be done with them. And they might increase crops, they might stop people from using pesticides, you know, reduce the need and so on and so forth, or whatever, you know, help areas that were under drought to grow food that they couldn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had wild dreams. Dreams are good. Dreams and ideas are good. Ideals are good. But he also decided when they started with the genetically modified potatoes that he was in charge of researching, that they needed to be tested out,
right,
to find out if there was any harm possible.
Okay.
So they had lab rats, and they tested them on lab rats. And he had some pretty shocking discoveries there. Besides killing some of the rats, they caused severe damage to the intestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
Of the rats.
Okay.
And I don't know how many people realize this, but your intestinal tract may be the number one most important organ of your body. I know everybody says your heart, your liver, your kidneys, and so on are. But before anything can get to the heart and kidneys and liver, it's got to go through your intestinal tract. And what's absorbed through the walls of your intestinal tract, the liquids and so on, everything is absorbed into your bloodstream and throughout your whole body.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that your intestinal tract, I mean, it's you have your nervous system. You feel nervous, your anxiety, you're getting married tomorrow, you're all butterflies, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got your regular nervous system that is ruled by your emotions. But your intestinal tract is the only part of your body that has a separate nervous system. And what happens in there will affect you immensely. So the discovery that this man made was way ahead of it happened at a time when they could have put a stop to the GMOs, but instead they went ahead with it. And it was ahead of his time, basically. I mean, it was done early in the program. And he was shocked because it causes this intestinal problem. It causes damage to the intestines, which goes on to cause damage to the immune system of the mammal.
Right.
Now, being that rats and humans are so close, his research not only suggested but pointed to the fact that humans would have the same results eating this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I too complicated for
no,
you?
No, it's very interesting. I was reading that in the link that you gave me.
Yes. I didn't go into it in the paper very much because I would have needed three columns.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You can say a lot more than you can type in print, hey?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, like I said, he worked in Aberdeen Research from 1968 to 1998 at this research center, and then he decided to do the research on these rats and the GMO foods, and he wrote papers about it. Well, they didn't like his papers.
No, they wouldn't.
And they were pretty mad that he had written this stuff, and he became probably the most well-known whistleblower in our society. There's been a few big ones that we heard about over the years, but this guy really became a big whistleblower. They didn't renew his contract after all these years. His wife worked in the lab with him, I believe, and he had a one or two lab employees. They were all gagged from speaking in public.
Mm.
He had to fight in court to get his freedom back and everything. I mean, he put up quite a fight.
Okay.
He's got an active website. He's an old man now. He's quite old. But he's still fighting this because he's screaming. It is not the protein, the part of the plant that was put into the potato is the problem. That part of the plant is okay used by itself. He says it is the entire process of genetically altering a product that is causing something to happen that is causing these results. Now, this is breakthrough research because it wasn't what they added to the gene in the potato. It was the process of adding another gene to the potato. You got me?
Right. Good. Okay.
So it was the whole process of altering. And he said, this is breakthrough. So he really went to the other side. And he's been fighting to open people's eyes. Now, last year, April of last year, I believe it was, I'm not positive, could have been March, the Canadian government had a piece in the newspaper that intestinal bowel disorders had increased astronomically in 5 years.
In 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they expected it to double in the next couple of years. What is causing so much Crohn's, ileitis, colitis, and intestinal bowel syndrome? Something is. What is it? And, I mean, we have to start looking at what is causing this and finding out why people... I mean, it's not... This is not a disease you're going to catch like you catch the common cold.
No.
It's not a contagious disease from one person to another. So what in our diet, it has to be in the diet, is causing us to get intestinal bowel disorders? Could it possibly be all the GMO corn that we are consuming on a daily basis? Go to the store. I challenge anybody who's listening to my voice. Go to the store and go in. Take a magnifying glass with you if you have to. And go up and down the aisles and pick out any product and see if it's got cornstarch, corn flour, cornmeal, or any type of corn oil or byproduct in that product. If it has, and it's not certified organic, you have a GMO product in your hand.
Exactly.
You have a genetically altered product in your hand. And what does that mean? That means you're consuming, and your children are consuming something that hasn't been tested on humans. There has never been an extensive test, except the guinea pig test that's going on now with the public. And what are they saying? We're going to have double the amount of intestinal bowel disorders in Quebec in 2 years?
That is a big number.
Yeah.
A big number. And I think people should be aware of fructose. Isn't that the corn, the sugar from the corn, too? So if anything has that added to it, that's corn, too.
Well, high fructose corn syrup has that problem, plus it's got a manufacturing problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not all plants, but some plants, and you don't know which plant yours is coming from, has old equipment, and this old equipment puts mercury into the corn syrup.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Mercury. One of the very most deadly chemicals here, mercury, and it's being put into corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And besides the fact that high fructose corn syrup, I have to laugh, because when I wrote my article about corn syrup, I got all this flack from the industry telling me that one sugar is has just as much carbohydrates as another sugar, and there's no difference. Oh, that's a lot of bull. I mean, if you have diabetes, you know that you absorb things differently on how they're processed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have diabetes and you're eating hemp flour, which may have some carbohydrates and may have a certain amount of calories, you're not going to absorb the hemp powder with its high potassium the same way as you're going to absorb the refined white flour.
No.
Now, that goes still. I mean, if you're going to take unbleached whole grain flour and use it in your bread, you're not going to absorb that like you do white flour either.
No.
Because it's the white refined flours. The more refined something is, the quicker it's metabolized, and the quicker it has an effect on your blood sugar, and the less likely that effect is to stay, which means that the quicker you absorb something, often the quicker the letdown from it happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And being a person who had suffered from low blood sugar, which was actually a blessing to me, because it opened my eyes and prepared me for eating more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't have problems with low blood sugar unless they become diabetic. But I was hypoglycemic when I was very young.
Okay.
That you learn that certain foods will give you that quick boost, but will let you down super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I'd love to do a real long show, a whole show, on foods that do this, you know, because there's
right,
some that
right.
we really have to get aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And the average person really has no idea.
No.
And there's some additives, like right now they're having this recall on a food, I love the way they say it, a food enhancer. A food enhancer. Well, you know what that poison is? Monosodium glutamate. It's mm-hmm. called, under many names, like if you go to the page, you can download it. I think it's in like 250 different names.
Okay.
They're putting it in the food so you can't find it.
Okay.
And one of the benefits of monosodium glutamate is raising your blood sugar and then lowering it, too. So, I mean, it's one of those enhancers you really got to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for a mom and dad today. They're being hit with this. I mean, they got to work 8 hours a day. They're going out trying to earn a living. Their hydro's going up. Their taxes are going up. Their rent's going up, and so on. And as I close today, I want to end on one thing. People have to become aware. They have to become aware not only with this Bill C-6. If you haven't contacted your senator, do it now. Go and you can. There's phone numbers online. There's emails on that website I started up. Safe Foods. Just put Safe Foods in Facebook and you'll find it. And go and find out what's happening with Bill C-6. It's in the Senate, as I understand. The only way we can stop it is getting in touch with senators and fighting it. And also, open that tax bill that you got from the city, especially if you're in a city that is increasing them this year. Notice one thing, that your neighbor in the next city will not be increased with their taxes the same year that you're increased. They do it deliberately, so we do not team up with our neighbors. They do not want Cookshire and Barrie getting together and fighting this together. So they did Cookshire last year. They're doing Barrie this year. And forget the 20% increases. Some are getting over 100% increase. Something has to be done now. Don't be passive. There's going to be a Facebook group up soon. Get active, and I'm going to do the next show on this.
Okay, well, that's great advice, Anime.
Yeah, we got to get people moving.
Exactly.
Because, you don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to have an IQ of a genius. You just have to be willing to pick up a book and read, or an article and read, and to do something.
Good advice.
Anyway, I hope everybody has a nice week.
Well, thank you very much, Anime.